Brother Dean.
Amen.
It's good to be here.
Amen.
Good to be amongst those of like precious faith. All right, I want to thank the brethren who led us in service. Those who worked the table, Brother Dean, for singing songs for us and praises unto God. And I want to thank this entire congregation, especially the leadership, for allowing me the opportunity to be able to come and stand before you once again. I want to thank you all for that. And also, I want to welcome our visitors that we have here with us today. Just letting you know that you are our guests. All right, we are happy to have you, and we hope that something is said and done that will help you to have a better understanding about God and be drawn closer unto God. That should be all our desires. God says if we draw closer to Him, He'll draw closer unto us. So that should be each and every one of our desires there. So once again, I am glad to be here among you. Let us open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew, the 17th chapter. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 5. Verses 1 through 5 of the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew. You get there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, everybody got their Bibles with them, right? We want to make sure we're looking at the Word of God. Let me see your Bibles. Raise your Bibles up there. All right. All right, brother. He got his phone there. He got his Bible there.
I am not looking at myself.
There you go.
For any other reason than the Word of God.
There you go. You got to turn off Facebook, though. I'm just messing with you. He has a Word. I've seen the Scriptures up there. He's ready. That's a blessing there. All right. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. All right. And it reads, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." So the title of the lesson for you today is Hear Ye Him. Hear ye him. Hear Jesus. Hear Jesus' voice, recognizing the voice of Jesus here. And what we're reading about there is Jesus on the mount there called of Transfiguration here. So it is so important for us to hear the voice of Jesus today. It has always been important for us to hear the voice of Jesus, but even more so today. There is many voices in the world today. You have voices on TV. You have voices that are on the radio. You have voices that comes from social media. You have voices that come from your family members, from co-workers. You have voices that come from false religious teachers in the world. You have a voice that even comes from this voice in our heads. All right? But the voice above all that we need to take heed to is the voice of Jesus. This is what this lesson is about. Hearing the voice of Jesus, recognizing the voice of Jesus. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, it says, "God, who in sundry times and diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son." So God speaks to us in these last days today by his son. That is through the inspired word of God, the Holy Bible. Also in Matthew chapter 28, there in verse 18, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and the earth is given unto me. So Jesus has all authority. No one else has any authority because Jesus has it all. All right, so we are to hear the Son of God. We are to hear the voice of Jesus because he has all authority. He has all authority, none left for anyone else. And we are to hear Jesus in all things, that is in our priorities, that is in our Christian living, that is in our attitudes, that is in our mission that Jesus wants us to go out and do. That is also to hear him in our salvation, on what we need to do in order to be saved, and also hear him in our worship that we are doing here today, is worshiping God here. So we want to hear Jesus, and we want to hear Jesus in all things. Let's take a look back at the passage that we read here, or I read for you, in Matthew chapter 17. This is the passage here known as the Transfiguration of Jesus here, or the Mount of Transfiguration. Here in verse number 1, it says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. So Jesus took Peter, James, and John, three of his close disciples, took them up into a high mountain apart from everyone else. And in the book of Luke, chapter 9 and verse 28, it tells us that Jesus went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, he transfigured before them. It says that here, that he his face shined like the sun, all right? And his raiment and his clothes was white as light. So there was a total transformation of Jesus Christ there. There was a total or complete change of Jesus' appearance there, all right? Could you imagine looking into the sun? It says Jesus' face shined like the sun, and his clothes was white as light. Other translations say that his clothes was white as snow and that he glistened. Could you imagine that sight there? These men here, these three disciples here, got to see the greatest sight that man has probably ever seen. They got to see Jesus in his glorified state. They got to see a glimpse of Jesus in his heavenly splendor. This is what these men have had the opportunity to see. And not only that, verse number 3 says here, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. So if it wasn't great enough or awesome enough sight to see Jesus transfigured before them, have a total transformation, they were also able to see two men, Moses and Elijah here. All right? These are two great men of God. All right? Moses represented the Old Testament law. And then we have Elijah, who represented the prophets. All right, so here's two great men here of God. And these men here, as Peter, James, and John, they get to see these men. All right, these men, they learned and grew up with. These are the heroes of them. And they're able to see Jesus in his transfigured state and also see here see Moses and Elijah in their glorified state as well. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 31 says, Moses and Elijah appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. So Moses and Elijah had talked with Jesus there. And what they were talking to Jesus was about his decease, which means actually departure, his exodus, that was going to be accomplished at Jerusalem. All right, and Matthew chapter 16 explains to us what was going to take place at Jerusalem. In Matthew 16:21, it says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. So we have Moses and Elijah here talking with Jesus about his departure at Jerusalem and how he was going to die. All right, and how he was going to suffer many things, how he was going to die, but also how he was going to be resurrected. All right, so this is what Jesus has in the discussion here about his death and his resurrection here, and how he is going to bring hope to all mankind, giving them the opportunity for salvation for all men of all times, even of Moses and Elijah here. So this is a great conversation that is going on here between Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. And then it tells us in verse number 4, "Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." So now we have Peter. We have outspoken Peter. You know, Peter has to say something. If you know Peter through the scriptures, Peter's going to open his mouth and he's going to say something here. Even though the scriptures record here that Peter, not here, but in Luke, he didn't know what he was saying, but Peter has to say something, knowing Peter. And what a moment. Who could basically hold back? I probably would have been just so shocked and wouldn't say nothing. But knowing here is Peter and seeing this wonderful glory. Do you understand where he's at? This is probably the closest that you'll get to heaven on earth. You got Jesus in his transfigured state. You got here Moses and Elijah in their glory here. And they're talking about Jesus and his death and his resurrection here. And now we have here Peter speaking out. And Peter said, "It's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." So Peter wants to build 3 tabernacles. All right, so a tabernacle here being a shelter, or here a place of worship. I believe this is talking about a place of worship. He wanted to build 3 places of worship for each one of these as Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. And to me, he's putting them all on the same level here of honor and worship. All right. But before Peter could even finish what he was saying, verse number 5 tells us, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." All right. So as great as Moses and Elijah are, God the Father spoke from heaven. All right. He made it loud and clear on who he wanted to be worshipped. He made it loud and clear on who he wanted these men to follow. All right. Not the Old Testament law, not the prophets. I want you to hear what Jesus has to say. All right. God made this loud and clear. He spoke from a cloud from heaven here. And he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Jesus is the only one that is to be worshipped. All right. He is God in the flesh. All right. And he is the Son of God. He is the only one to be worshipped. No other man. All right. No other man. Not Moses. Not Elijah. Not taking anything away from them. Wonderful, great men. Faithful examples of God. But God is letting you know, I want you to hear my Son. Hear ye him only here. Above all, he has all authority. And this may be what is helping these men to understand what had taken place before here in the previous chapter. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13, it says here, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say thou art John the Baptist, Elias, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So Jesus took his disciples up on the coast of Caesarea Philippi, asked them, "Who do men say that I am?" And some of them were saying that you're John the Baptist, you're Elias, or you're Jeremiah, or you're just one of the prophets. All right? And Peter made it loud and clear that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This could be a further statement for these men here, Peter, James, and John, as they were on the Mount of the Transfiguration, and ringing for us today. Because Jesus is not just one of the prophets. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's people in the world today who think Jesus is just the prophet. No, Jesus is God. He is the Son of God. And this is what was being stated here, and maybe there to even increase these men's faith. Could you imagine being Peter, James, and John and seeing what was taking place on this mountain and coming down off this mountain? Had to increase their faith, had to help them to understand and put a stamp on who Jesus is, because Jesus is near the cross. It's not far that Jesus is going to be going and being nailed to the cross, and he's helping these disciples here to have faith in him and to understand truly who he is. He is the Son of God. here, the Son of the living God. All right, so we want to hear Jesus and hear Jesus above everyone else. He is the only one that we are to worship and to follow here. Let us continue on. Let us look in Galatians chapter 1. Let's turn there, Galatians chapter 1. Galatians, we're looking in the book of Galatians chapter 1. And we're looking here in verses 6 through 9 here. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. And it reads, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another gospel, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So the Apostle Paul here writing unto the Christians here at Galatia, he said he was so shocked or marveled that they were so soon removed from him that called him by the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He's shocked that they had been moved from it so soon. So they had been removed from the gospel that had been preached unto them. Judaizing teachers had come and taught and perverted the scriptures here, twisted the scriptures of Christ and troubled them, and now they were following another gospel. And he says, when you're following another gospel, you are removing yourself away from the one who called you. So when you begin to follow another gospel than that which was preached unto you that you find in the scriptures here, you are now removing yourself away from God. God is the one that called these Christians. God calls each and every one of us by the gospel of Jesus Christ. God doesn't have multiple ways to call men. He calls us by the gospel of Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. Doesn't call us by a cloud in the sky. God is not calling from a voice in the sky. He's not calling you by some vision you might see in the middle of the night. God is not calling you on your nature walk through the forest. That's not how God is calling you. God called you by the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 14, by the gospel of Jesus Christ. God only has one way to call man, all men unto his son. And this is how Jesus, God calls man. And Paul was so marveled that they had been removed from this gospel there of Jesus Christ. And he says there in verse number 8, he says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have, what we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So that you know, don't believe any other gospel than the gospel that he had already preached to these Christians. All right, the gospel. Believe no other gospel. If you believe in another gospel, then you are believing that there is another way to be saved. There's only one way to be saved. The Bible tells us there that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So if you believe in another gospel, you believe in that there is another way to be saved, which there is no other way to be saved, and you will lose out on your salvation. Don't move away from God. Don't believe another gospel. If you do, anyone preach that. He says even if an angel comes from heaven, there are some that believe, I'm calling no names, but they believe that they have a revelation that have come from an angel. All right? That's what they believe, that their revelation that they believe has come from an angel. And we clearly see here, Paul says, if an angel comes from heaven and bring you any other gospel than what you have been preached here, let him be accursed. And any other man, the word of God, the gospel is already settled in heaven. It is eternal, and we need to stay with it, listening to no one else. Not the reverend, all right, not the bishop, all right. Not the pastor, all right? The master. You need to listen to Jesus Christ, all right? That's it. No one else. Listen to what we find here in the pages of inspiration, the words of Jesus Christ. Anyone brings the gospel unto you, let them be accursed. Paul emphasizes that. do not believe any other gospel here. Continue to listen to the words of Jesus. Let us turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, looking at verses 24 through 27. That is the seventh chapter of Matthew, verses 24 through 27. So here Jesus has just concluded his Sermon on the Mount. He tells a story here about a wise man and a foolish man. He tells them that the wise man built his house upon the rock. When the storms came, that house stood. And he talks about the foolish man. The foolish man built his house on the sand. When the storms came, that house was swept away. It fell. So this is what Jesus here is giving a parable. He's giving a story here about the wise and the foolish man. And they're building a house on a rock and building their house on the sand. Verse 24 here of Matthew 7. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So Jesus says, therefore, whosoever, that's whosoever, heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Jesus says, we need to hear what he says. Whosoever, this is to whoever. First of all, we hear what Jesus says. And then Jesus says, when you hear it, do it. All right, that's it. If we can get those two things down, we're going to be all right. What did Jesus say, and am I doing it? That's it. That's pretty simple, isn't it? I think that's all right. You hear what Jesus says, you do it, you're going to be all right. That's what Jesus says here. That's all we need to do. Hear his sayings and do it. And look what Jesus says. I will liken him unto a wise man. You'll be a wise man. You want to be a wise man? You want to know what wisdom is? Hearing what Jesus said and doing it. That's it. People search for all kinds of ways to be wise or figure out the future and everything else. Looking at the crystal ball and the palm reading and stay away from all that. Hear what Jesus said and do it. We're going to be all right. Jesus said, you're going to be a wise man. Who want to be wise here today? Amen. Hear what Jesus said and do it. That's what Jesus said. You'll be like a wise man. Then he says, what built his house upon a rock. Now the house is your life, all right? The rock is Jesus Christ. So Jesus is saying, you're a wise man. If you hear what I say and do it and build your life on my teachings, you'll be a wise man if you do that, all right? Then he tells us here in verse 25, he says, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So Jesus begins to talk about the storms of life. All right, he's talking about the storms of life. You ever heard the saying, you're either in a storm, all right, coming out of a storm, or about to go into a storm. Now Jesus is talking about the storms here of life. He says the rain descended, so the rains came down on the house. The floods came up, and the wind beat upon that house. Jesus saying your life will get hit from all sides. You're the spiritual house. And when these storms come, they will hit you from all sides. Either the walls is closing in, or it's just so many troubles coming. So this will happen in life, and Jesus is telling us that. And it will beat upon that house, and it fell not. All right? And it fell not. That didn't fall. That house didn't fall because it was built upon the rock. It was built upon the teachings of Christ. All right, so these are the storms of life. And here are some in detail. Here's the storms of life. What about the financial woes that come in our lives? All right, these are some of the storms. We have financial woes, problems. How am I going to pay these bills? How am I going to figure this out here? Those financial woes. What about that health report when you go to the doctor and the doctor tell you that news or give you that news that you don't want to hear, that nobody wants to hear, all right? What about here, about family members and et cetera? What about when these things start to hit our house? What do we do? What do we turn? Do we crumble? Do we fall? All right, if we built on a rock, we have our trust in Jesus Christ, that all things gonna work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Everything going to be all right if we trust in Jesus. All right, we build our house on the rock. Then he tells us here in verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. All right, see, this foolish man, he didn't hear, he heard what Jesus said, but he didn't do what Jesus said. And when the storms of life came, there was a great fall of his house, all right, from his life and to his eternal life, because he didn't build his life up on Jesus. So we sing the songs here, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All right, that's the songs we sing. Why do we sing? That helps build us up, all right, admonish us, warns us, and builds us up and teaches us about staying faithful and grounded and rooted in the Lord, all right? The Lord our rock, in him we hide. He's a shelter in the time of storm. All right? Those are the songs we sing. I'm anchored in Jehovah. I shall not be moved. Those are the songs we sing to help us and build us up and stay firm on that rock. But those that build their house on sand is the foolish man. And when these things happen in their lives, it tells us here, when the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, it fell, and great, God uses a word, Holy Spirit uses a word, is great. Great was the fall of them, from their lives to their eternal lives, because they didn't build their lives on the teachings of Jesus Christ there. So that's it there about building your lives on the rock. So we need to hear Jesus in all things. We need to do those things. We need to put them in practice there. Be the wise men. Put what we learn in practice. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. This is where we were in our Bible class. John chapter 10. Verses 14 through 16. John 10, 14 through 16. And this is here Jesus talking. Here he's speaking. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So Jesus says, I am the good sheep. The good shepherd. Meaning that Jesus here is the good shepherd because he gives his life for the sheep. He lays down his life for his sheep. And then he says, I know my sheep, and my sheep are known of mine. So Jesus knows who belongs to him. He knows each one of us that are his sheep, and he knows us by name. Isn't that wonderful? To know Jesus knows exactly who you are. All right? And then he tells us also, we know Jesus. And then that shows us there about a relationship, a deep, intimate relationship, as we talk in Bible class. And it's just as the Father has a relationship with the Son. And we need to get to know Jesus better and better, more and more. We study, we come to church, but we got to have an even deeper, greater relationship. All right? I have to trust Jesus as I go throughout my day. All right, he's right there with me. I'm trusting him. I'm relying on him for everything. I have to have that deep, intimate, strong relationship with Jesus Christ. That's just as the Father is with the Son. That's just beautiful to me. And then he tells us here, verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. So the other sheep, talked about, that's the Gentiles. That's you and I that are not of the fold, that are not of the children of Israel. But now Jesus here is laying down his life so that the Jews and the Gentiles can become one in God's family. This is what God has for us, one there, the Jews and the Gentiles, the other sheep. Jesus says, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. We have to hear the voice of Jesus. And when we hear the voice of Jesus, we follow the voice of Jesus so that we can be part of that one fold. The one fold is the one church. Jesus has one church that we find here in Scripture. Jesus died and purchased one church with his blood, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. He only has one church. Just as there is only one shepherd who is calling the sheep and leading the sheep, he has one place for his one sheep, and that is the church of Christ there. All right, so there is one voice. So we got to continue to listen to the voice of the shepherd that we may be one as God wants us to be. Okay, John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 48. John 12, 48. Jesus says, he that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You see here, Jesus says, he that rejected me and receiveth not my words. When one does not receive or listen to the voice of Jesus, they are rejecting him. All right? Jesus says, he that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judge him. What will judge us here in the last day? Jesus says, the word that I have spoken to you will judge you in the last day. These words of Jesus is going to be there on the last day when we are in judgment, and this is what we're going to be judged about. All right? Did we listen to the voice of Jesus? Did we follow the voice of Jesus? Did we obey him? This is what we're going to be judged according to. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. In that last day on judgment, we will be judged by the words of Jesus. How important it is for us to listen to the voice of Jesus. Very important if we want to stand right in the sight of God on that day of judgment. All right. Let us turn to John chapter 18. This will be my last passage here. And then we'll be closing here. John chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate, here is the Roman governor, here says, Pilate therefore said unto him, speaking to Jesus, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So everyone that is of the truth heareth the voice of Jesus. If you are of the truth, you hear Jesus' voice, and you follow what Jesus here is teaching here. All right, this is how we recognize the voice of God. There's so much in the world today that is not of the voice of God. All right, if you do not continue to study God's word and look at the words of Jesus and study and have that relationship with Jesus, you could be misled and deceived, all right, by listening to other voices out here. Satan is very shrewd, all right? So we have to continue to listen to the voice of Jesus that we are not misled. You may not see God's face, but when you hear truth, you know you're hearing the voice of God. That's how you recognize this is from God. Someone's telling me something that is false, my antennas go up. Wait a minute. That don't sound like what I read in the Bible. I might not know where it's at, but I know it's in there somewhere. Let me go back. Let me check. Let me read. That ain't in there. Okay? And I'm getting back to the voice of my shepherd. This is what Jesus said. So we won't be misled. We won't be led away by any wind of doctrine. So this is how we recognize the voice of God when we hear truth. Jesus said unto Jesus, here as he continued on, he said, what is truth? All right, what is truth? John chapter 17, Jesus said, sanctify them by truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus' word is truth. Bible tells us also, you shall know the truth, and it will set you free. All right? It will set you free. We need to hear the voice of Jesus. That's my lesson for us today, is hearing the voice of Jesus, recognizing the voice of Jesus. So much false teaching going on in the world. It's going to continue on, even get even stronger, but we need to continue to listen to the voice of Jesus. So if there's anyone here who is not a Christian and you would like to become a Christian, you simply do by hearing the word of God, believing the word of God that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came and he gave his life that we might have life if we come to him. You do so by repenting of your sins. All right, that is a change of your mind. That is a change of your actions. And then you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the sweetest confession that man could ever make, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then you need to be baptized. Be fully immersed in water. Once you go down in that water, you come up out of that water, all your past sins are forgiven. God forgives you. And once you do that, then you can start your new life. You can start a new life in Christ Jesus, walking in righteousness, doing your very best to strive to live and please God. If you do that and you be faithful unto death, God promises to give you a crown of righteousness. All right? If there's anyone here that is a Christian and just have not been listening to the voice of God as you should, all right, you could also ask the congregation to pray for you. All right? Ask us to pray for you. We'll pray for you that you might be strengthened in that area and listen to the voice of God as we should there. If anyone has a desire to come and put on Christ today, to surrender your will to his will in baptism, we will gladly help you to do that today. At this time, let us please stand and sing the invitation song.
Stand up.